Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster: wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, it's Gabe time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the Easy Bake Oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's Gabe time.
Game time, we're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
And rolling on a lovely Thursday, August 15th, 2024 is the date. It's time for the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, former Memphis Tiger offensive lineman, Gabe Kuhn, on X at G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside, as always, the executive producer of the show. That'd be Connor Dunning on X at C Dunning 99. Connor, how's it going?
It's going well,
yes,
Gabe.
Yes, sir. We've
How are you?
It. I finally brought it up. I'm doing well.
How are you, Gabe?
I am doing well.
Are you doing okay today?
We fixed it. After all this time. All I had to do was speak up.
What a victim you have been.
It's sticking there in your crawl, I can tell, and I'm glad. Now we have this all figured out. But I am doing pretty well.
You were so excited about it, I didn't even get to ask, and you were already there.
Pretty well, Connor. Cannot complain. Now, we have 3 hours of talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. We're going to be absolutely loaded up today. We have the FedEx St. Jude Championship rolling along right now. Day one is underway. Chris Kirk finishes his day 6 under. He is in the lead. I'll get to that leaderboard in a second. I also want to discuss Scottie Scheffler and what he said about the PGA Tour. Probably did not make the leaders of the PGA Tour very happy, but that'll be worth discussing. We'll also talk about the Grizzlies schedule release, because it came out today, as well as the rest of the NBA. And I mentioned it throughout this week. The Fish notes, the Rob Fisher notes on the schedule. If you don't know by now, go check it out. If you're on X, go to The Fish Nation on X, and he carves everything out for you. It's a nice cheat sheet for the season. As far as guests are concerned, 4:30, we're going to bring on an NFL guest by the name of Ryan McFadden from the Denver Post. Covers the AFC West, most notably, and the Broncos, but also covers the rest of the NFL. A lot to discuss there. Matt Judon to the Patriots, or to the Falcons from the Patriots. You have Justin Simmons as well, one of the best, I'd say a top 10 safety still in the NFL after getting let go by the Broncos. He has signed a 1-year, $8 million deal with the Falcons. Where does that put them? Also, we still have the contract disputes going on. Do we have any more reports today, Connor? Any more reports on Brandon Ayuk or CeeDee Lamb?
Not that I have seen, no.
I think we're tired of putting out reports, right?
Very tired.
We've had reports on each side. We've had some down the middle. We've had enough reports. Just get a deal done if you're going to get a deal done. Let's move on with our lives. And I still love Steelers fans sitting there thinking that It's absolutely going to happen with Brandon Ayuk. You have 49ers fans saying, stay tuned. Can't wait till Brandon Ayuk signs back. Then you have Steelers fans saying, oh, can't wait till this trade actually goes through. What should you believe? I don't know. Decide for yourself. 5 o'clock, we'll have Jeff Calkins on from the Jeff Calkins Show and the Daily Memphis. He's a columnist there. We'll talk about the Grizzlies' schedule very, very closely when we get to that segment at 5 o'clock. 6 o'clock, we'll bring on Kyron Samuels. He's from the Pulling Guard, Defiant Takes for their football edition. He's a former all-conference offensive lineman at Jacksonville State. And he has a new gig, and I'm actually very excited for him. But I don't want to steal his thunder. We'll let him announce that once we get to 6 o'clock. 6:30, we'll hop into the Blitz. We'll get into the Matt Judon news. We'll talk about the Bills, who have a very, very notable linebacker by the name of Matt Milano out for indefinitely. And then the WNBA announced that the All-Star Game will go to Indiana in 2025. I wonder why that is, Connor. Why would the WNBA take the All-Star Game to Indiana?
I wonder.
Why would they? I can't understand. Oh, Caitlin Clark.
Money.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. We'll break down some of the numbers and why, ultimately, the WNBA All-Star Game will be played in Indiana. Shouldn't be that much of a surprise, though, on the face of it. Now, real quick, FedEx St. Jude Championship is underway. Chris Kirk is in the lead at 6-under. He's done for the day. Taylor Pendrith, Matthew Pavon, Hideki Matsuyama, who was one of sort of the sleeper picks, all tied at second. Hideki Matsuyama has not finished up his day. Looks like he is on 16 right this second. Justin Rose, Tommy Fleetwood, another sleeper pick, tied for fifth. And then some of the bigger names, Xander Schauffele and Scotty Scheffler, tied for 10th right now. They're not done for the day. Scotty Scheffler's on 16, Xander Schauffele on 15, and they're 3-under. Now, I do want to bring up what Scotty Scheffler has said throughout this week about the PGA Tour and the FedEx Cup Championship and the standings and everything else. He's not overly happy with the way that the PGA Tour goes about this. And here's the full quote. It's a little bit long, so bear with me. Said, I think it's silly. You can't call it a season-long race and have it come down to one tournament. Hypothetically, we get to East Lake and my neck flares up, and it doesn't heal the way it did at the Players. I finished 30th in the FedEx Cup because I had to withdraw from the last tournament. Is that really the season-long race? No, it is what it is. It's a fun tournament. I don't really consider it the season-long race like I think the way it's called, but you've got to figure out a way to strike a balance between it being good TV product and it still being a season-long race. Right now, I don't know exactly how the ratings are or anything like that, but I know for a fact you can't really quite call it a season-long race when it comes down to one stroke play tournament on the same golf course each year. I actually get what he's saying. And really, I think most people are latching onto it, saying he wants things to change. I think he's more mad about the wording, right? He's just mad about the wording that the PGA Tour uses by saying it's a season-long race when it comes down to a final tournament, Tour Championship at East Lake. That's his big issue. I think we are diving a little bit too deep into this. The one thing I would say to Scotty is in most sports that we talk about, regardless of injury or not, we do have a playoff system that we go in, and injuries, they're part of the game. In the NBA, we see it all of the time. The Toronto Raptors never win a championship if the Warriors don't get absolutely hurt, even though they were one of the best teams in the league that they were the best team in the league that year. In the NFL, we see it all the time. Guys go down, and you have to move past it. I understand it's a single sport. It's a single-player sport. I get that whole part of it, and I get where he's coming from. But at the same time, I do think once you get into a playoff scenario in most sports, you do have to deal with the repercussions, the nicks and bruises, everything else.
Yeah, no, I agree with what you just said. And I wonder if, did you see what Rory's response was to what he said? Now, and I do wonder if this was a bit tongue-in-cheek when he said it. I haven't actually seen the video,
probably.
But I'm just curious. He said, I love this format because if it wasn't this format, then none of us would have a chance against Scotty because he's so far ahead. So I really like this format.
That's where Scotty's mad, because he's like, you guys are trying to put money in the pockets of guys that are substantially worse than me. You're trying to put money in the pockets of guys that stink compared to me. I get where he's coming from, and I get, like, the wording is kind of stupid. It's not a season-long race if you're just deciding it on the last three tournaments.
Well, and that's why Rory went on to say, I think it makes the Tour Championship more exciting from a consumer standpoint. Is it the fairest reflection of who's been the best player of the year? Probably not, but I think at this point we're not in for a totally fair. We're in for entertainment and for trying to put on the best product we possibly can.
Because the truth of the matter is, if Scottie Scheffler got top 10 finishes in the FedEx St. Jude Championship, and then the BMW Championship, got to the Tour Championship, got hurt, had to withdraw, he'd still be Player of the Year. You know what I mean? Like, that's just weird. It's bizarre. Where the Player of the Year would probably not win the FedEx Cup Championship, but it is what it is. I mean, I think it's better for the consumer, like Rory said, but in the end of the day, I don't think you can really call it a season-long race if it comes down to one tournament
right. At
the end of the year. Now, the Grizzlies schedule came out today, and really the NBA schedule came out today, and we have to get to some notes. And I full disclosure, I cheat. I go to Rob Fisher.
Literally every single person who lives in Memphis and works in media cheats.
Fisher.
I don't think a single one of us breaks down the schedule outside of how Rob does it.
Yes. So opening the year, October 23rd of 2024, they'll be on the road against the Jazz. So that will be the opening game of the year. Then they will finally be able to be at home three nights later. They will have, in a back-to-back, after a game on the road at Houston, they'll have the Magic at home on NBA TV on that Saturday. And get this, this was a strange note that I saw from Fish. That's the only home game that will coincide with a college football Saturday. That's kind of nice.
That's kind of nice for all you college
football fans out there. Most of the Saturday games you're going to be able to watch on TV alongside college football.
I will say, I am a bit bummed that the home opener is the night after a back-to-back. Because you want them to be as fresh as possible, but I guess early season they should still be.
It's third game of the year. I hope they're fresh.
You know what I mean, though. It's just a bit of a bummer. Like you think before the home opener they would give them maybe a night off.
Yeah, also in DB, you know, Dylan Brooks is going to be running your ragged.
And Steven Adams.
So that'll be the first time they get to see them second game of the year. They will have 9 games on ESPN and TNT. The year they won 56 games, they had 18, so they have half that. The NBA is not investing in the Grizzlies like they once were. This is where we've been talking about it, you know, since last offseason. The Grizzlies have to prove it again. The Grizzlies have to get back up to the top of that mountain before the NBA gives them those nationally televised games. I think all said and done with NBA TV involved. How many games does it cover?
8. You have 8 on NBA TV.
8 on NBA
5
TV.
5 on ESPN, 4 on
so
TNT.
So 17 all said and done on national television.
Right.
Which, there's worse things in the world.
13 last year.
The longest road trip of the year looks relatively brutal. Once you get into December, it starts to speed up.
It gets tough.
You have Pelican. This is from the December 27th to January 4th. You have to go on the road against the Pelicans, the Thunder, the Suns, the Kings, and the Warriors. You're going to be hoping and praying you can get out with 2 wins.
And then next up, you have Dallas, Houston, back at Minnesota, and then at Houston and at San Antonio. That is an absolutely brutal stretch of schedule. From basically December 26th to January 15th, just gets very difficult.
9 of 11 games on the road. That's not fun.
Yeah.
That is not fun.
And to be quite honest, in the rest of January, it's not that much easier.
And then their longest homestand, they will have Phoenix, they'll have the Suns, the Knicks, the Spurs, the Hawks, and the Thunder all at home. That'll be between February 25th and March 5th. So that will be
awesome
nice
lineup.
To get all those teams
awesome lineup
at
games.
Home. I think most people, you're going to be showing up to most of those.
Oh, I will be sat.
Then they'll have at Dallas, at New Orleans before returning back home for 4 more. They'll have the Suns again, the Jazz, the Cavaliers, and then the Heat. Now, you get a lot of premier opponents. You want to be able to make sure you win on your home floor, but that's 9 of 11 at home. But I do think what's nice about this schedule, you start off the year, Jazz, Rockets, Magic, then you're going to have the Bulls, the Nets. Yeah, you're going to have Milwaukee, but then you have the Nets twice in the first 8 games. You have the Wizards in there in the first 10. You have the Trailblazers in there. I think that they have a really good shot to start off pretty hot through the first 20 games of the year, because the rest of the schedule really does get tough. Because the Western Conference is just, it's tough conference. It's very hard. No surprise there.
Pretty much every single stretch of games that we just mentioned is quote-unquote tough, but I think it's just the talent in the NBA right now is... there's a lot of talent. It's one of the most talented years, I think, that we've really ever seen in the NBA. And, yeah, especially in the Western Conference, where the majority of their games will be played. But then if you want to break it down even further, the division that they are in is just kind of brutal. The worst team in your division has Wembanyama on.
Yes, and Chris Paul,
And Harrison Barnes now. And Devin Vassell, and, you know, Castle.
Keldon Johnson's
still there? Keldon Johnson. Crap, are they good? As I just went through it, I'm like, oh, crap. Are the San Antonio Spurs a good team now? But you and I kind of did a fun exercise. We asked each other through the first 12 games, predict what their record would be. And you and I, without talking about it, had the exact same outcome, 8-4.
Yes.
Which would be a very good start for the season.
And I think through the first
20... Could go 10-2.
I saw, and we'll talk to Jeff about this a little bit later. He had them at 14-6 through the first 20. I think I had them at 13-7. Because once you get out of game 12, you're going to have a game on the road against Golden State. Then you're going to have Denver twice at home in a row right after that.
Then you have
the 76ers. Then it gets a little lighter. Then you have three games in a row that are very, very winnable. You're going to have Bulls, Trailblazers, and Pistons. Then to round out through 20 games, you're going to have the Pelicans at home, which I think is winnable. But I had them right around 13-7 through the first 20 games, which I think can give you a nice little buffer going through the rest of the first half of the season.
Right. I mean, we've been talking about this week how important it's going to be for the Grizzlies to hit the ground running this season. You know, I think just from confidence from a standpoint with the fan base, but also with the team, you just want to see them hit the ground running. And the way that this schedule broke, they have a chance to do that. You get to kind of run into the season. You're not having to start the first three games against a quote-unquote powerhouse, and then you have Chicago, Brooklyn. I mean, you really have what? Your sixth game is against the first team that you... Orlando is absolutely a playoff team. So really, you're going to play two bona fide playoff teams within the first six games. Not bad.
Yep. Now, when we get down to it, I do think that... when you look at the end of this schedule, it could get pretty wild. The end of their schedule, they're going to see the Lakers, they're going to see the Celtics, they're going to see the Warriors, they're going to see the Heat, they're going to see the last three games of the year could actually be massive for Western Conference playoff implications. You're going to have the Timberwolves at home, you're going to go on the road against the Nuggets, then you're going to be back at home against the Mavs. I think that the Grizzlies, the Mavs, the Nuggets, and the Timberwolves, probably four of the top six seeds in the Western Conference when it's all said and done, you really could jockey for position with those last three games of the year. You're not going to be wanting to sit people if everything goes to plan.
100%, and that's why there is a bit of a gift from the NBA right before those final three games. You're at Detroit, you're at Charlotte.
Yes.
Two games that you should be able to win sleepwalking, because by the end of the season, they are going to be trying to lose these games. They are not going to be trying to win.
They're going to try to get Cooper Flagg.
They are going for the flag. They are tanking for Cooper Flagg. That's absolutely what is going to be going on with Detroit and Charlotte. So you're hoping that Minnesota, Denver, Dallas, you'll have, you know, some energy for those games. But it's interesting because there's also a flip side to that coin. Yeah, the, you know, four of six, probably the top six teams in the West, might be jockeying for possession. At the same time, though, we might look up when we get to those games, and the positioning could be relatively done, and these games might end up just being bad. You know, it's really interesting because the end of season games every single year, when you look at them, you always expect them to be, oh, that's going to be a tough game. But I feel like every single time we get to those final few games, we're just playing G League guys.
Yes.
And you're playing rookies. And
it doesn't feel like this year will be that way.
And I hope it's that way this year. Because if it is that way this year, that means the Grizzlies aren't having to win basketball games by the end of the season. So my hope is that they're actually kind of bad basketball games, but they are set up to
be potential barn burners. But if we look at last year in the Western Conference,
yeah.
It was all very, very close, very jumbled up. It was the last game of the year the Nuggets were fighting. Till the last game of the year the Nuggets were fighting the Thunder.
And the repercussions of that game went through the entire playoffs.
Yep.
The entire playoffs.
Yep, 100%. 100%. One thing that the NBA did with the schedule that I think is just dirty, downright dirty. They have a five-game road trip starting on February 11th and ending on February 23rd. But they're going to have two back-to-backs within that road trip. And these are the teams they're going to have back-to-backs against. You're going to have a back-to-back from the Suns to the Clippers, which is tough in itself, Western Conference opponents. Then you have to back that up a couple of days later, and you're going to be playing the Pacers and the Magic out of the Eastern Conference. That's not nice. That's a rough couple of back-to-backs in a row for a road trip.
I will say, going through the schedule, I keep kind of landing on, man, there just really aren't that many bad teams left in the NBA. Like, truly bad. And to be quite honest, they're almost all in the Eastern Conference. When you look at the West, the worst team is Utah, probably.
The Blazers.
The Blazers. The Blazers are definitely the worst team. But Utah or the Blazers. And it's just, they still have talent on those rosters. But when you look at the East, you know, the bottom of that, you got the Wizards, the Pistons, the Hornets, the Raptors, and the Nets. We know all of those teams are going to be bad. But unfortunately for the Grizzlies, you're just not playing those teams much. So their Western Conference, when you look at their schedule, it is going to be difficult. But that is where, hopefully, the roster that they have, I have confidence in them to be one of the better teams. But man, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough.
What you just brought up about the East brings up a very interesting point. The tankathon, the tank from all of those teams in the East is going to be absolutely
it's gonna be nuts.
Insane.
It's going to be nuts.
I think you could throw the Bulls in that conversation, too. Bulls, Nets, Raptors, Hornets, Wizards, Pistons, all going to be jockeying for position at the bottom of the Eastern Conference.
I mean, 36
wins. So they can
wins.
Go get Cooper Flagg.
36 wins got you into the play-in last year for the Eastern Conference. 46,
the Bulls were a play-in team.
46
wins.
They
were terrible.
You had to hit 46 to get in for the West.
That's so bad.
And that number might be higher this year.
That's so bad.
You hope it's not, but it might be.
That's so bad. But all said and done, I think the front part of the schedule is easy, but then everything after that's going to be really tough.
Basically, after December, what? What was the note? The 26th? Yeah, it gets tough.
Yeah,
what's
but
your favorite?
I
am curious. What's your favorite game on the schedule? I have a pretty easy answer, but.
Well, for me, I think it's always going to be Martin Luther King Jr.
Yep,
game.
That's the answer.
At home, you're going to be playing the Wolves.
And first John MLK.
You can't beat that, but that will be. That'll be filled up. That'll be a fun day.
I will say, speaking of Ant, it seems like based on the Timberwolves schedule, the NBA is investing in Ant as one of the future faces of the NBA. They are putting them on national TV a lot. I think they have the third most games on national television.
Yeah, and it should be that way. It should be that way. Anthony Edwards is unbelievable. And he's likable as hell, man.
Super likable.
Super likable. Outside of that, there's going to be a lot of opportunities early in the season, but at home, we'll finally get to see it in person. We'll have, on February 3rd, you're finally going to see, well, if they're both healthy and they're both playing, but Edie versus Wimby, potential, or Jaren versus Wimby, but you get to see those bigs have to deal with Victor Wembanyama with more extended minutes, I'd imagine, this year.
Right.
I'd imagine we're not on a minutes restriction anymore with Victor Wembanyama, but that's another game that I really like. But I think what takes the cake, to answer your question, is obviously Martin Luther King Jr. Day. I mean, John Ant on the same floor on national television in FedEx Forum. Beautiful stuff. Do we know about the renovations and when they're all going to be done at FedEx Forum?
I do not. I do not. I used to have insider info, but I no longer have that.
You no longer have your insider info?
I got to figure out my tickets, too.
What do you mean?
I used to have half-season tickets through the Grizzlies because Kat, she worked there.
Yeah, but,
you know, she's now an all-sacks at Jude.
So you're going to have to...
I got to figure out how I'm going to get my tickets. That just hit my brain right now. Man.
Did you get it? You got them at a nice discount, I'd imagine, too?
Yes. You know, we didn't have to pay full price for them. I'll say that.
Mm-hmm. I got you.
It was nice.
I got you. But what do we think, ultimately, about 8 games, TNT and ESPN? Do we really care? Do we view it as disrespect? Do we view it as the NBA saying the Grizzlies are just not a team that we think are going into the future we're going to latch onto? Or is it just truly what I said earlier? Hey, Grizzlies, prove it. Then we'll put you on national TV a little bit more.
That's exactly what it is again. And to be clear, I have absolutely no problem with that number. I think that number's solid. Again, being a Grizzlies fan, we have such a luxury of the local broadcast that I really just don't care about how many national televised games there are because I'm going to be tuning in to Brevin and Pete and Rob and
always.
Those guys every single time, or I'm going to be listening to Eric every single time. Like, being able to have the radio team that we have and the local broadcast team that we have, I truly think that we are one of the most spoiled fan bases in the NBA when it comes to that because it's just the pros at every single position on the radio side and also the TV side.
Yeah, they make it fun.
Yep.
They and one thing that they do that I think a lot of local broadcast teams really screw up on and miss out on, I understand when you are a local broadcast team for a particular team, you can fall into being like a homer, true homer.
Warriors.
I'm not saying, and I'm not saying that they're not. Of course, they want to see the Grizzlies have success. That helps them out. That helps everybody in the city out. But they call the game really down the middle for the most part.
They tell it how it is.
Compared to most local broadcasts, because most local broadcasts, you just want it to be that way. You want to have the lean to your team. But they call it how it is. They call it how it is.
I will also say, if the Grizzlies have a successful season like we think they can, they will be flexed into more games.
By the end of the year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If Ja's having the season we think he may have, they'll be flexed.
Like those last three games of the year, maybe?
I mean, one of them is already on TNT.
I know. It's going to be the Minnesota game at home on the
Dallas, yeah. Like but that then, Dallas game on the 13th might absolutely could be flexed in.
On the, what about on the road to Denver a night later? Well, that would be kind of hard to flex it, but that... That could be one as well. But Dallas will be on that Sunday. They'll end the year on a Sunday, April 13th at 2:30 p.m. So you're going to have to be ready.
Man, I am really curious to see what Denver looks like this year. There is part of me that thinks it might be a down year, but they have Jokic. So, like, it's I have part of me that's saying, man, their roster's worse. KCP's gone. Jamal Murray,
he hasn't looked right. Listen,
but they got Jokic.
They're not as well positioned to be a playoff championship caliber team.
Like, I'm just not penciling them in as a top two seed. I'm just not doing that.
I'll pencil them as a top four, though. I'll pencil them in as a top four. I feel confident in that.
Maybe.
Like, as much as...
But they have Jokic. They have Jokic.
As much as you want to try to say KCP and Jeff Green and Bruce Brown and all these losses mean something...
They got Jokic,
man.
He could win with actual horses.
What can you do about that? There's nothing you can. And I'd imagine, again, when we're talking about this MVP race, as it starts to heat up throughout the season, he's going to have to do a whole lot more, which means more stats, which means more votes in the MVP race. And I know people are going to get frustrated by that because he's won three of the last four. He might win four of the last five. To be honest with you, as we get closer to the season, I might pencil him in as my MVP for the last five.
Maybe so. It's just going to be interesting to be like, Michael Porter Jr., your job is bigger now. And he's just a dumb basketball player. And it's going to be interesting to see how that works.
And also,
because his job used to be stand in the corner and shoot threes. But he can no longer just do that.
And there needs to be some honesty about Jamal Murray.
That's what I mean. He doesn't look right.
We have to be watching that as we get into season. Again, playing next to Nikola Jokic will probably make him a better player.
Certainly so, yes.
Just hashtag analysis. But at the end of the day, he looked bad at the end of the season, did not have any good playoff performances.
Real bad
in
the Olympics.
And then once he got into the Olympics, he was miserable, terrible.
Now, if he shows up and all of a sudden looks like the normal Murray, Denver's going to be fine. But if he looks like he has the last 6 months of basketball that we've watched, it's going
to
get interesting.
And listen, I like Christian Brown. That's a guy who's going to have to take over the KCP minutes.
Can't hit water if you fell out of boat.
My biggest issue with him, though, he better be in the lab this offseason trying to put up some threes. He was able to at Kansas, I thought, for the most part. He was okay from the three-point line. Not great. But there was always the thought that he could grow a three-point shot, but it has not been anything once he's gotten to the NBA.
What did he shoot last year? Let's go look. I think part of this, though,
I think is limited opportunities. He doesn't really – when he gets the ball, he's a closeout. I mean, he attacks the closeout.
Was just – during the playoffs last year, he would catch the basketball, and not a single person would be close to him.
Yeah.
Okay, he shot. Okay, 38% from three? What?
How many per game?
Two? Oh, that's surprising. I'm very surprised about
two
that.
Two per game.
I owe Christian Brown some respect.
Two per game.
I wasn't aware.
Two per game.
Still 38. That's better than I thought it was going to be. Definitely better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
He shot 35% the year before.
Yeah, but I think the playoffs is what we're really talking about.
But only 69% from the free throw line?
That's weird. With KCP out of there,
right,
he's going to have to take on that role. He's going to have to be the spot-up type of guy that KCP was when Nikola Jokic found him from any which direction from the high post. He's going to have to put up a lot more. You can't put up two a game and expect this Nuggets team to be good with KCP's absence.
I think my prediction would be they would be the fourth team in the West right now.
Okay.
I think I'd put him at four. I think they'd have the Grizzlies at three.
It's Nikola Jokic, man. It's Nikola Jokic. Mm-hmm. And did I say three of the last? He's won two of the last three?
Two of the last three.
Two of the last three.
So Embiid has one in there.
If he wins, it would be three of the last four. So I would
I know I've just. I know
that's
I
where
keep
I think my
this.
Money will be.
I feel like Ja is good money in terms of MVP this year. I think it's good value. The storyline's there. It's sitting right there.
Yes, the comeback.
It's right there.
Yes,
but it's,
everybody
it's,
wants to
it
see
feels
someone
like,
return
it
back.
It does feel like, though,
everybody
it's SGA.
Everybody likes the fall. Everybody likes the return.
Right.
I get it.
I do think, though, it's SGA or Luka's to lose. Like, it feels like those two guys are probably ahead, and then you have Jokic. But I think that job, you could make an argument that he might be in that fourth spot.
Since we granted permission to talk about off-season workout videos, if Ja can do what I've been seeing him do from the mid-range in his workout videos, I think he could be probably top three in MVP voting. But that's so hard to project once you actually get into the NBA season. I just don't know if I don't know.
Yo,
if
Giannis
trust.
Is up there, too. You got to remember Giannis.
Of course. Luka. Yeah, I mean... But with Zach Edey screens, the amount
of space,
the amount of space that's going to be created.
I'm just giving you the
hunger
odds.
He's going to have.
Listen, I'm just going to give you some of the odds right now. Here are the top guys. You have Jokic in first place, Luka, Joel Embiid, SGA, Giannis, Ant, Jason Tatum, no. Jalen Brunson, probably not. Victor Wembanyama, no. And then you have Ja Morant. Here are the value for Ja across most of the major betting platforms. DraftKings plus 3,000, FanDuel 3,400, BetMGM 5,000, Caesars 2,000, Bet365, don't know what that is, 3,300.
That's all over the place.
It's all over the place, but it's good. Like plus 5,000 on BetMGM.
I wonder, and this is just like if you're a bettor who can get cash out on your particular app. I know you can on DraftKings and FanDuel. You can definitely get it on FanDuel. Throw it down. What'd you say it was on FanDuel?
3,400?
Throw down a nice little spot on 3,400.
I'll put a
dollar
on it.
If he starts playing really well, moves up that MVP ladder, you could cash out at some point if you don't think he's actually going to win.
I'll put a dollar on it.
But the more he moves up, the better his odds improve, the more payout you could potentially get. So
keep an eye on it.
Just keep an eye on it. You don't have to throw. You don't have to throw $1,000 on it.
Could he win comeback player of the year again?
On it.
Is that possible? Two-time comeback player of the year?
Oh God, no! Please no. or most improved player?
Oh, most improved, not comeback player. Yes, most improved. Thank you. Yes.
We did talk about that. Who knows?
That was a mistake by me. Hand up.
I have no idea. Now, final thing I want to mention about the schedule release. Shouldn't be surprising, but it still irks me. It really does irk me. You know who has the most national TV games for the 2024?
The Lakers.
The Lakers. 39 times, brother. Who's second?
The Warriors.
The Warriors. 36 times. Then you have Boston, New York. You have the Knicks. Then you have Dallas, Phoenix, and Denver rounding that out. Lakers are not going to be that good of a team. They just aren't.
It might be. I think the idea of it, though, is it may be LeBron's. It could be his last season.
I understand it. I get it. You have the two biggest stars in the NBA aging on those teams, on the Warriors and the Lakers. But they're just like those teams in general. I'm not bought into them as like actual playoff championship caliber teams. They're playoff teams. They're not championship caliber teams. Just frustrating, I guess.
Speaking of, I think March 29th may be your last chance to see LeBron at home.
Better buy those tickets now.
Better buy those tickets now. Right. Think he's going to play, though? It's late in the season.
Do you really buy he'll retire after this year?
No. I think he's got, I would say, two more. I don't know. If he gets, it depends
also,
on if he
also
gets hurt.
Part of it, to me, it's conditional, right?
Yeah.
If the Lakers suck, if the Lakers are miserable, like, maybe he's like, screw this, you know? But
I think it depends on injury.
I do think, well...
If he gets, like, hurt, he's not going to rehab to come back.
That just does not, I mean, I understand this is 40-year-old LeBron we're talking about, but that's never been a conversation with him.
The groin took him down. They were really good that year.
And if he goes out on top and wins an NBA championship, I think that he can move off into retirement.
That's not going to happen. There's no way.
I think when you get to the poll, somewhere in the middle, I think he could come back for another year. Have some hope.
Maybe.
But the way he structured his contract with the 1 year and then the player option... It's all on the table. It's all on the table. I mean, at some point, he's got to retire. It's just hard to imagine it, right? It's just hard to really wrap your head with.
I try not to think about it.
How much of the 21st century has been defined in the NBA by LeBron James? It's so hard to wrap your head around him not being in the league.
Oh, yeah. It'll be weird. It'll be very weird.
Yeah. Now, let's go ahead and grab a break, and we're going to switch gears when we come back. We're going to talk with Ryan McFadden from the Denver Post, covers the AFC West and the Broncos, but also covers the NFL as a whole. We have a lot of NFL stories to talk about. Matthew Judon ends up with the Falcons. Justin Simmons ends up with the Falcons, and we have some contract disputes that have been reported on, but nothing has actually happened. So plenty on the NFL next, right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Brian McFadden is the AFC West and Broncos beat writer for the Denver Post. Also covers the NFL as a whole. He's on X at Ryan McFadden _. Ryan, what's happening, brother? How are you?
How's it going, Gabe? Everything's doing good down here in Denver.
Yeah. What's their camp schedule? When do they practice?
So they practice this week, Wednesday, today, Friday. They're off on Saturday. They play Green Bay on Sunday.
Right. Right. Now, I have to open by talking about the Broncos. You know I have to start there. Bo Nix, unannounced starter, but he's totally going to start, right? Like, when are we going to get the announcement? I mean, the first preseason game was phenomenal for him. 15 for 21, 125 yards, one TD, didn't have a single interception. He looked good. He could use his legs, two, three rushes for 17 yards. When do you expect that announcement to come? It seems like this is a guy who has a lot of confidence and certainly can start over Jarrett Stidham.
Look, like you hit it, you hit the point there. He had a really solid preseason opener. He led four scoring drives, which was pretty impressive. He looked good operating the offense. And then not only that, you got to look at, he played, I believe, between 36 to 39 snaps. He played a little bit more than a lot of people anticipated when going into that game. And then he's going to get the start against Green Bay. So, it's, like you said, I think this was inevitable when he got drafted back in April, that he was going, at some point, he was going to take on the reins as a starter, and most likely it seemed like it was going to be going into week one. But in terms of paying, making an official decision, I would assume he would have to make it at least either the Monday after the game, or that first practice, which should be on a Wednesday, he'll make that decision. Because you're going to have to announce who's starting that third preseason game. And if Bo Nix is not starting that game, it's clear that he's going to be starting in the season opener. Or yeah. if he's inactive against Arizona,
it's going to be very clear.
It's going to be very clear. I think Sean Payton is going to make the call sometime early next week after this game. And especially depends on especially if he plays well against Green Bay.
And one thing I was thinking about, if Bo Nix actually hits for that team, if he is, you know, a really good rookie, which, you know, his first preseason game would lead us to believe that, this Broncos team actually isn't as dead in the water as I thought, right? After the Russell Wilson saga and everything else, this Broncos team could be pretty good. If Bo Nix hits, I'm not saying they could be the Texans of last year, but why not?
Look, I watching Bo Nix had me thinking a little bit. Like, if this is a precursor of what we're going to see in the regular season, I can't see them being a team that can win. I initially had them as a 6-11 team.
Right.
I can see.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste, because you know all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
That going up to seven or maybe eight games, you play like that, there could be certain games this team could sneak off of. And one thing about Sean Payton's mentioned it, defensive coordinator Vance Joseph mentioned this too. It's not just Bo Nix. They got a pretty young and hungry team. A lot of guys that are trying to prove themselves. A lot of guys that didn't play last year that expected to play some key roles going into this year. You got veterans who are trying to show that, hey, I still got something left in the tank, someone like a Cortland Sutton. Like, there's a lot of guys in here with something to prove. And you kind of feel that hunger amongst the guys on the roster. So if Bo Nix can play like that, or he's solid to some degree, I think their outlook is a little bit different compared to what it was back in March.
Now we have to give the round of applause. Blake Watson, speaking of young and hungry guys, 9 carries, 26 yards, had a rushing TD, second leading receiver, 33 yards in that first preseason game. I gotta say, it's gonna be kind of hard to leave him off this roster if you're Sean Payton. I know that they have a lot of running backs. Jaleel McLaughlin they like. Audric Estime, of course, they like after drafting him out of Notre Dame. Certainly Javonte Williams is the lead back. But it's gonna be really hard if Blake Watson continues to do what he's doing to keep him off this roster, no?
Yeah, it's going to be hard. There's a lot of tough decisions this team is going to have to make. One of them is their running back. You got wide receiver. Those are two positions where it's like, you don't know. It's going to come down. And there's a lot of tough decisions with those two positions in particular. Yeah, like, one thing about Blake, he kind of provides that similar skill set that Jaleel McLaughlin provides in terms of having speed coming out the backfield and then someone they can rely on as a pass catcher. And that's what Sean Payton likes. That's what he wants in his offense. And the thing is, they had Samaje Perine do that last year. Yes, he provided protection as in the backfield for Russell Wilson. Yes, he was a check down, like a reliable check down guy. However, he doesn't have the same speed as Watson. He doesn't have the same speed as McLaughlin. So it's going to be a lot of tough decisions right there. I do like Blake Watson. It's hard, like, because he's a guy where, like, If you decide to waive him, and he's someone that's going to pass through waivers, I don't know. So it's going to be interesting to see, and especially with the new kickoff rule, they can use some support there as well. So he provides so much for this team that they can use. But yeah, it's going to be tough. Like right now, I think their top three guys are Javonte, Audric, and Jaleel. And if they want to. And if they decide to keep four running backs, I can see Blake Watson getting that fourth spot.
Now, you have seen it up close. What have you thought of the new kickoff rules up to this point? I know it's a year of an experiment, and then they'll see if they'll implement it full-time. But what have you thought of seeing it up close?
Seeing it up close, I liked it. I thought it was interesting. I think a lot of guys have a chance to make some money with this new rule on both sides, the returner or someone as a gunner. So, like, I think it creates looking from a Broncos standpoint, it kind of changes a little bit how they structure their roster.
Yep.
But I think it also, at the same time, it creates opportunities for guys who might not see time on defense or offense. Like, they have that opportunity there with the new kickoff return to kind of make a name for themselves.
Now, let's get to the rest of the NFL, talking with Ryan McFadden from the Denver Post on X at @RyanMcFadden_. We have two contract disputes with wide receivers that are very notable, and really three if you count Ja'Marr Chase, but that one's been a little quieter. I want to focus on Brandon Ayuk and CeeDee Lamb. Are you as tired as I am of all these reports with no actual action?
Yeah, in terms of Ayuk, I'm ready for it to get over with. To me, I feel like at the end of the day, I think he stays in San Francisco.
Right.
I just think that offense fits him perfectly, and they need him. He needs them as well. I think at some point they're gonna get it done. But yeah, I'm tired. Like, you know, I'm on my timeline, and you have random Steelers fans saying they have sources that a deal is done, and I'm like...
Then you have 49ers fans saying they have sources that the deal is done with the 49ers.
So, yeah, I'm just like, I'm ready to get it over with. I think it just got blown out of proportion. So, hopefully, the 49ers and IU can, like, you know, find a middle ground and get this situated so we don't have to see so many people... so-called insiders keep talking about this.
Yes, and then CeeDee Lamb, we've talked about this on multiple occasions throughout this offseason, on this show in particular, at this time slot, but I don't get the Cowboys. I just don't get it. I can't understand it. You're bidding against yourself. Jerry Jones, the more he opens his mouth, the more he pisses off everybody on that roster, not just CeeDee Lamb, because I think there's a lot of guys in the NFL that sort of look at the way contracts are negotiated within their certain franchise, and they see, okay, CeeDee Lamb's not getting the money he wants on his timeline. What are they going to treat me like?
Yeah, I think Jerry Jones, I think, really shot himself in the foot a bit with his comments towards CeeDee Lamb. And yeah, the thing is, like, the way it's been situated, it's not a good look. It's not a good look for the team as well, because you hit the point there. Like, guys are looking at how they handle the CeeDee Lamb situation, and this is a guy who was one of the top wide receivers in the league, and this is how you're treating his whole contract situation. That it's like you come out publicly and say this is not it's not that big of a priority, it's not that big of a deal, and all players should look at that. And not only that, like, you still got two guys you're looking to sign to extension. So, to me, I think, you know, it's a whole mess down here in Dallas.
Yes, 100%. And I fear that the worst is coming if they continue to treat their players like this. I just think there's a complacency, and also there's just an ego problem, I think, at the top with Jerry Jones. He wants to be the face of that franchise. He really does. I don't know if he likes getting his thunder stolen by Dak and Micah and CD, but we'll see how it all plays out. And by the way, you said Brandon Ayuk begged the 49ers. I fully expect CeeDee Lamb back with the Cowboys on a massive contract, but it's just a matter of when. Would imagine it gets done before week one, but any guess I will accept at this particular point. Now, yesterday we had a massive move. Patriots trade Matthew Judon to the Falcons for a third round pick. And also today, a guy that I guess you're familiar with, having covered the Broncos, Justin Simmons gets signed to a 1-year $8 million deal. How far does this go to pushing the Falcons into that sort of next tier of teams that can really compete for a championship?
I think moves like, I think these two moves right here make them playoff contenders going out the gate, especially in the division they're in. I like the move for Judon. I especially like the move for Justin Simmons. You know, this guy was a Pro Bowler last year. He's still one of the top safeties in the league. I believe he was voted 57th in the NFL top 100. So I think these moves right here is, you're seeing them trying to maximize that window that they have with Kirk Cousins. And I think this it's going to be a fun thing to watch this year.
Yeah. Do you have any insider information on what the hell happened with Justin Simmons this offseason, why it took so long? He ended up getting a decent deal, $8 million, nothing to sneeze at. Like, that's okay. But why was it such a – it seemed painstaking along the way for him to just find a team.
I think two things from the fact. I think one thing comes from a money standpoint. And another is, you know, playing with a playoff contender, and you kind of want to find that middle ground right there for him, because, you know, Justin Simmons is a guy who still believes he can play at a high level. So it's not like he's gonna go in and then, you know, accept the veteran minimum no matter what team it is. So I think that's where it took so long. I'm surprised it took so long that Justin Simmons, we're getting close to the regular season, and he still was unsigned. But I think those two play come into factor. I think this guy still wanted to get paid as a guy who can play at a high level, at starting caliber level, plus knowing that the organization has that potential to compete for the postseason, which is something he did not get a chance to do in his 8 seasons in Denver.
Yeah, now final thing, have you been able to catch up on Hard Knocks? I know you've been busy.
No, I have not.
Oh, damn.
The New York one was pretty good. The offseason one was pretty good.
Yeah, it was. I like to get the one with the New York, with the Giants is like you actually get to see the war room conversations, like, and you don't really get that peek usually.
Yeah, I think that's good insight for, like, you know, for anyone who is a fan of the NFL, just to see what those meetings are like, what's the thought process for certain decisions, whether it's a draft or trade, etc. But yeah, I want to see the Chicago one I have not got a chance. This, you know, training camp has been been a grind. And like by the time I get home, it's like you just want to go to sleep, or you got more work to take care of.
Yeah, I got you. I got you. Well, Ryan, I appreciate it, man. Let's do this again soon.
All right, sounds good, man. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. That's Ryan McFadden from the Denver Post, covering the AFC West and the Broncos, also the whole NFL for them. He's on X at Ryan McFadden _. Now, we're approaching the weekend, and when you approach the weekend, I know what you like to do. You like to get to the liquor store. You like to get some libations for the weekend. And I know how tempting it is when you get to that local liquor store to go buy that national brand you've been reaching for years. It's hard to break that habit. But whatever that bottle national brand contains, we have a local distillery that does it better. That's Old Dominic Distillery. They have gin, they have vodka, they have toddy, they have whiskey, they have bourbon. They have all of the types of spirits that you could possibly imagine. They have multiple selections of each. I want to point you in the direction of the new single barrel release for that Old Dominic whiskey. It's 126 proof, so always drink responsibly, but it's 6 years aged. They have really good notes. It goes down smooth, and you can put it on ice, you can mix it with your favorite cocktail, and you will enjoy it. Also, the 90.1 proof bourbon. That's sort of my go-to at this particular moment in time. 901 90.1. It is for the city of Memphis. We have some Memphis bourbon. Make sure you get your hands on a bottle today. And every spirit from Old Dominic is the most fresh, most full spirit you can buy in this city. And there should be no surprise because the distillery is right here in town, right on the riverfront. 305 South Front Street is where you can find them. They have events all the time. Check those out at olddominic.com. Go book your tour and tasting at that state-of-the-art distillery at olddominic.com. And you can check out all of their products at olddominic.com. And you can ship Old Dom spirits anywhere in the United States of America. You can get them as a gift. I send some at the holidays every single year because my family absolutely loves the bourbon that they make and the whiskey as well. And they're also the official spirit of the Memphis Grizzlies, Old Dominic is. They have two bar locations inside FedEx Forum, and you can go enjoy a craft cocktail at one of those two bar locations when you're watching a game. It could be Tigers or Grizzlies. You're watching a concert, a comedian, whatever you're down at FedEx Forum for. Go enjoy a craft cocktail made by Old Dominic at one of those two bar locations. But Old Dominic Distillery wants me to tell you to come by and say hi. And next, we're going to say hi to none other than Jeff Calkins. He's next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.